This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Andy's out today. Dan Menigan doing everything. His job and Andy's. Doing it well. Thank you very much.
That's not well. Mediocre.
Doing a mediocre job of Andy's job and his own.
Now you're cooking.
Actually, everything dropping down a little bit because he's being spread so thin.
Now you're cooking with gas. Like the way you operate.
Tom Withers was just with us, and we talked extensively about the Cavs there. And then we were talking a little Guardians and asked about guys who might pop this year. And I was really glad to hear Tom mention Chase DeLauder, who, you know, my dream scenario is he is so good in spring training that he just wins the right field job, gets about 450 to 500 at-bats out there. I think I'm hallucinating, by the way.
I would love for that to be the case.
Yeah, I think I'm hallucinating.
I really would love for him to do that. The problem is that this organization has had a platoon in right field since
the late 20s, wasn't it? And I don't mean the 2020s.
I think it was Moses Cleveland. Moses may have platooned with somebody else.
Once Elmer Flick was done, they decided, well, we better platoon.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much the way that that's what it's felt like. That has been a platoon since Manny Ramirez.
But then Tom took it in a different direction. And may gave us something to think about just a little bit there, didn't he, Dano?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I thought Dan was ready to hit this button and said he's hitting other buttons.
Yes, sir.
This guy's doing everything.
I think Bizana is going to end up being up here, you guys, much earlier than any of us expected. And I think that maybe have been, you know, one of the driving forces on the Jimenez trade is that this kid appeared to be, from all intents and purposes. Now, listen, it's a big jump to go from double-A ball to, you know, to playing at this level. We've seen that numerous times of guys coming up before they're ready and then having to, you know, accept some failure and go back down and then come back again. But from all the people that I've talked to, they said this kid is really, he's very different.
Tom Withers saying that Travis Bazzana might be up here sooner rather than later and maybe even being impactful this season. So with that thought in mind.
Baskin and Phelps present The Race.
What is the fella's name on second base?
I don't know.
For second base.
Do we have to add Travis Bazzana to the race for second base?
I don't know, man.
We had him out.
Yeah, we didn't think that was the case. No pun intended.
He's not going to start the season on the Major League team, right? I'm not gonna hallucinate on that one. That's not happening. They're gonna start him in Double A, right? It's gonna be down playing at Canal Park,
right? I think that's. I'm not gonna lie to you. I think that's what they will do.
I do too.
Because this team has been patient with prospects for as long as we can remember. They give these guys so much runway, and they make sure they're really doing well and on a hot streak more than anything else before they find their way into the Major League roster. Now, the question that I have is the old Terry Francona question. where they would remember they would always talk about how there are certain guys that they would like try to hide from Tito because he would come in and be like, I want that dude. I want
that
dude.
I like that guy. Yeah, go get him.
Yeah, go get him. I want him now. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. And I wonder if they do that with Bizzano. Do you think they do that with Bizzano?
College players in this day and age have a shorter jump, I think, to Major League Baseball. Not all, but some. You know, the guys who are at the top of the college game can get to the majors pretty quickly. Everything we hear about him is that he's the kind of guy who can do that. I don't expect him to be here anytime soon. In fact, I'd be surprised if he's here before July. If he is, I'd think, wow, that was fast. You know, that's less than a year, right?
Absolutely.
From getting drafted to getting to the majors. That's really cooking. But we've seen that before. You know, some guys can pull that off. I just have a hard time believing that that's going to happen. I would think, however, that he has a real good opportunity to be the starting second baseman in 2026.
Yes.
I would think he has a really good chance of that.
It's going to take one of these other guys in the race for second base to grab that thing with both arms and scream, this is my spot.
Yeah.
It's going to take what you want Chase DeLotter to do for right field. Like, grab it with both hands, be awesome to stop this from happening.
See, here's the other thought on this. Let's just say, and in our race for second base, and we're going to be keeping tabs on that position because it's really intriguing because you know who's going to be the starter. At least by 2027, if not by 2026, Travis Bizzano. That's why you drafted him. He's going to be your starter at second base. Who steps up? Right now, the last rankings I think we had, Juan Brito was on top, Gabe Arias was second, and Angel Martinez was third, Tyler Freeman, Daniel Schneeman. What happens if, I've used the word hallucinate a lot this hour. I'm going to do it again.
I think it's having me around.
What happens if Juan Brito steps in and looks like he did in Columbus last year? Where he hits about 250, 255, 260, hits about 20 bombs and drives in 80. What happens? You trading him? You turning him into an outfielder? He played a very little bit of outfield last year, but he's supposedly a second baseman.
I give you a dark rebuttal that I don't think I want to say out loud.
He can also play third.
What happens with Brian Rocchio? Because if Rocchio comes
out... But Brito's not considered a shortstop.
But if Rocchio comes out and has a season like he had last year, where he
and not in the playoffs,
pretty good defensively.
And didn't hit very well.
But kind of crummy with the stick in his hands.
But he hit pretty well late in the season and into the playoffs. Was clutch.
And I am a Rocchio fan.
Yeah, I know you are.
I will wave my Brian Rocchio flag until the very, very end. Because I think the guy can play. But if he has an ugly season, I wonder if Brito moves to shortstop and Bizzano takes second base.
Brito's,
I wonder if that's the direction they go.
Brito is not considered a shortstop.
Jeff,
doesn't mean he can't go play it, but you have so many guys who can play middle infield who are top prospects in this organization.
This spring training report brought to you by Mr. Hero and Quinn Legal Associates. I've used this excuse more times than I can count. I feel like this is turning into the Harold Baines excuse for Hall of Famers. I moved Tyler Freeman to center field and it worked. And so there's a part of me that kind of wants to throw my hands in the air.
But it is shortstop.
That kind of wants to throw my hands in the air and go, we can't take Juan Brito and move him to shortstop and make it work.
In his minor league career, Brito has played 44 games at shortstop. He's played 286 games at second base. That mean anything? He's played 54 games at third base. He's played a little bit at first base. He's played a little bit in the outfield. Shortstop has been his third position. I don't know that I want some guy whose third position is shortstop being my starting shortstop. And I'm not moving Jose Ramirez there.
I agree completely. But once again, you're in the midst of the logjam. And it's unless you're going to look at me and go, well, maybe Ron Brito can play center field, or maybe, I mean, what Chase DeLotter, they always said maybe could play a little center field, but it feels like it's one of those where it's kind of like how, and I know nobody pays attention to any other team besides
center
their
field.
Own, but I hope it's not like the Brian, I had his name and lost it, center fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, who's really good, Brian Reynolds, where he probably should be playing a corner outfield spot, but there's nobody better, so they put him in center field. I wonder if that's Chase DeLotter.
That might be.
Maybe he finds his way there with Lane Thomas.
Kevin's in beautiful Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Well.
Well, outside great. Of the pile of white stuff outside the side that needs to go away.
Oh, my God. Let me get you a cry towel for that one. Seriously.
I'll get over it one day. I'll get over it. It's just going to take me a while.
Yeah, yeah. Put your big boy pants on. Let's go. Come on.
I have to go buy them because I don't have snow pants. I'm too old.
Make sure they have lining in them, by the way, so that way you're nice and warm. Hey, my thing on baseball is, you know, I hear all the time our fellow friends in Northeast Ohio just, you know, complaining consistently and continuously about the Cleveland baseball and the salary level, right? And so I guess I'll throw something at you guys. First of all, you know, depending on who you look at, the Cleveland's going to be around the 83, 84 million mark, right? By the way, there's six teams below us in salary. We're not the bottom, including the White Sox, by the way. And if you look within our division, you got KC at around 115 million, and then Detroit and Minnesota around the 130 million mark, right? So really, if you say relative to the teams in our division, we're not drastically below anybody in our division. But then the stark reality of baseball is you look at the top, let's say 14, 15 teams, depending on how you look at the math, they're basically 200 million plus, right, in salary. So you're talking at least double the salary we have. And in some cases, triple, like with the Mets, the Dodgers, Phillies, and the Yankees, all at around $300+ million. So I guess I throw to you guys, first of all, does this not scream we have the haves and have nots, you know, in baseball at this point? And secondarily,
how do you
realistically put a team together in a mid-market city that you can say you're really competitive? And I don't mean just make the playoffs. I'm talking you're a World Series, serious contending team, not named New York, L.A., Philly, or Boston, right? I mean, or Houston and Texas. I mean, really, they're so far ahead of us in salary. Anybody they put their eye on, we can't compete with that. I mean, they can offer them money that would basically be our entire salary for our team, which is ridiculous at a mid-market level to even do that. So I guess, obviously, I love Cleveland baseball. I love summertime, sitting with my boys, watching baseball. It's one of the greatest days you can have in the summer. But, man, how do we compete against these big guys with the salary they have? It just almost seems you can't – I don't know how you get over it. You guys tell me. How can we realistically compete with a salary we know we have to be at?
Kevin, thank you very much. We will tell you when we come back right here on Baskin and Phelps.